It is time for Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by Cargill, providing food, agriculture, financial, and industrial products and services to the world. Cargill, helping the world thrive.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's Year in Review show, we'll check in with the Minnesota National Guard and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on results for 2016 and some upcoming 2017 goals. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Students across Minnesota have started their spring semester of college. A good handful of them are members of the Minnesota National Guard who are using state and federal assistance, as well as the GI Bill, to pay for their higher education. Of the three, the Minnesota State Tuition Reimbursement is something unique, exclusively for members of the Minnesota National Guard. It allows our soldiers and airmen in good standing with their unit to be reimbursed up to 100% of the undergraduate rate of the University of Minnesota Twin City campus. The state tuition program is a fantastic benefit for our soldiers and airmen, as well as the Minnesota National Guard. About 20% of our current members are in college. I encourage highly motivated listeners interested in learning about how to obtain college tuition reimbursement to check into the Minnesota National Guard. To get connected with a recruiter in your community, visit online or call 1-800-GO-GUARD.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the Minnesota National Guard is the Director of Communications, Colonel Kevin Olson. Colonel, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Always a pleasure, Mr. Lyons. How are you?
Good, sir. It's been a while since we had you strapped into the chair here in the studio. It's always good to have you back in here.
Well, it's great to be here and great to see how far we've come in 6.5 years, Tom.
It's been a long time, hasn't it, sir?
It sure has.
Sir, can you share with our listeners, how long have you been in the military?
Well, I'm celebrating just over 30 years in the Army National Guard. And most of that has been as a traditional citizen soldier. That is about 1 weekend a month and 2 weeks of training each year. But for nearly 20 years, I've had the honor to serve full-time in the Minnesota Army National Guard and represent our citizen soldiers and airmen as the public spokesman and the director of communications.
Now, Colonel, I understand you were deployed a couple of times with the Minnesota National Guard.
Yeah, that's true. I've had the opportunity to serve our nation overseas on two occasions, both as a public affairs officer. And for those of you that don't know, that's the person responsible for coordinating media and social media, command information and community relations to our various audiences. So my first tour, Tom, was in 2005 and 2006. Ended up going to Iraq and serving at the multinational corps. That's more than 140,000 multinational soldiers. And I helped coordinate all of our satellite and television interviews throughout the theater and coordinate embedded media, because that's such an important part of telling the story of our service members. And then secondly, I deployed with the Red Bulls, the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division, under the command of Major General Rick Nash, back in 2009 and 2010. And again, serving as his public affairs officer, we communicated our nation's military activities in 9 out of 18 of Iraq's provinces for nearly a year.
So, sir, that was as public affairs officer for the Red Bull Division.
Right.
When did you become public affairs officer for the whole Minnesota National Guard?
Well, you've interviewed a lot of National Guard service members, and I'm no different, even though I'm full-time. My part-time or my traditional assignment, but I've had the honor of serving as the Director of Communications and Director of Public Affairs for the Minnesota National Guard for about 14 years now. So I've always held this, I've had this position even when I was assigned and deployed.
That's kind of a long term for that position, isn't it, sir?
It sure is. Very few officers will be in a position for so long, but I keep lobbying for it because it really is an honor to talk about the great things that our soldiers, our airmen, our families, and the veterans and communities that support our Minnesota National Guard do. So for me, I wouldn't choose any other job.
So you're the spokesman for the Minnesota Air and Army National Guard, for good or for better or worse. If there's a crisis, you have to talk about it. If there's something good, you get to announce it.
Well, that's very true. And some of my sentences begin with what Time Lyons meant to say was.
All right, sir. There we go. I know one of the things that I've witnessed for many years now is that you've got quite a team over there, and you've won some awards, and you've done some extraordinary things for a Minnesota National Guard Public Affairs Unit.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, we're blessed to have about 35 part-time and a total of 10 full-time public affairs and visual information staff throughout the state of Minnesota, and they are absolutely phenomenal. You know, I'm just so proud of our soldiers and airmen that work on every aspect of communications these days. You know, communication surrounds us all, and we have a great social media presence throughout all the different platforms, whether that's Facebook, whether that's Twitter, whether that's Pinterest, YouTube. We have just phenomenal folks committed to telling the stories of our service members. And they have accomplished some great things. We've been recognized not only by the military, but also in relation to our civilian peers in communication. I'm proud to say that our team has won over the years 5 regional Emmy awards, as well as a Silver Anvil. A Silver Anvil for the best government communications campaign. And that was compared to everything in the entire country. So our team is very, very well seasoned and very well accomplished. And it's just a privilege to work with these great young citizen soldiers and airmen every single day.
And Colonel, I can remember when I first met you, I'd been talking to General Nash, and he brought you in and said, Colonel, this is Tom Lyons, and we're going to do a one-hour radio show. And the look on your face was just incredible.
Well, it won't be a surprise to you that I went to Sergeant First Class Ben Howe Cooper and Staff Sergeant Johnny Angelo and said, Sergeants, we're going to begin doing a radio show. And they did the hard work and really have created the quality program that I believe your listeners are enjoying today.
And they've been great partners and just tireless workers, sir, so you should be proud of those two.
Yes, indeed.
We're speaking with Colonel Kevin Olson, who's the Director of Communications for Minnesota National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. And, sir, I think we probably should get to work. We were going to talk today about some of the accomplishments of 2016, but I think first we should start by talking about the footprint that the Minnesota National Guard has over the past year or so. Can you describe that to our listeners?
Yeah, well, definitely. I want to remind everyone that Minnesota is one of the states that does not have an active duty base or post on it. So the military in Minnesota is very much our guard and our reserves. And although there are a small contingent of active component soldiers and service members, the Minnesota National Guard has about 13,000 total people in it. Again, that's Army National Guard, our soldiers, and our Air National Guard. We're in 61 communities throughout the state.
And you have both a federal and a state mission.
That's right. Everyone that joins the military, we all have to raise our right hand. We have to swear to defend the Constitution of the United States. But what makes it different for those of us in the National Guard is we take a second oath, and that's to the Constitution of our respective states. So here in Minnesota, while we're in peacetime, our commander-in-chief is the governor. And while we are if we're called upon for a federal mission, then our commander-in-chief becomes the president of the United States. It allows the governor the ability to have a force to call out in the event of a state emergency or a natural disaster.
So floods, fires, tornadoes, those type of things, you're called up to state duty. But if you are asked to serve over in Kuwait or Afghanistan, which we've been over with the radio show, then that's on a federal, that's part of your federal mission.
That's exactly it.
Colonel, we want to talk about 2016. It came and went really fast. What do you suppose were the biggest accomplishments of the Minnesota National Guard during that year?
Well, we have a number of accomplishments. You know, I just want to kind of showcase those against General Nash's priorities. First was as it relates to our sustainable infrastructure and our energy. You know, we had an incredible accomplishment at Camp Ripley. We, in partnership with our friends with Minnesota Power, we developed a 60-acre solar array at Camp Ripley Training Center. That allows us to not only power all of the electrical requirements at Camp Ripley, we're also able to provide power for about 3,000 homes in central Minnesota. This is important not only for sustainability reasons, that being that we are net zero, which means that we produce about as much energy as we consume. But it really adds to our security in that if we did lose power throughout the state due to, say, a cyber attack or something, we would have the ability to power an infrastructure that would be able to help the citizens of Minnesota.
And Colonel, I think shortly after that was fired up, we had a little natural disaster up there. We blew the roof off one of the barracks, and it damaged part of that array, but that's been repaired by now, hasn't it?
That's true. Colonel Scott St. Sauver and his team were able to assist Minnesota Power as we cleared that that small tornado that came just before we were about to open it up. It didn't take more than a few weeks for them to have it up and running, and we'll have a grand opening once the weather is a little bit more favorable for such a ceremony, but the power's up and running.
And for our listeners who haven't heard, Camp Ripley up in northern Minnesota is one of the best facilities in the country. And if you go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and put in Camp Ripley, there are several interviews with Colonel St. Sauver where we describe that camp and the amazing amount of people that use it and the things that you can train it to do up there.
Well, that's exactly it. That brings us to another accomplishment, which is just being a ready force. And so much of our largest single unit in the state, the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team, used Camp Ripley as they were preparing to go to our National Training Center at Fort Irwin, California. That's one of the largest collective training events for any large-size Armored Brigade Combat Team, and only one National Guard unit is selected per year to go. Our soldiers went and proved that they are ready for anything. They are ready for any deployment that might come their way over the course of the next year.
And we had some of your officers on the show to talk about that. And by any measure, it sounds like that was a huge success. And our Minnesota Army National Guard did very, very well. And one of the things that gives you an advantage is they get to train longer at home before they go to those things because we have a facility like Camp Ripley, don't they?
Yep, that's exactly it. You know, part of being ready is maintaining the integrity of our service members, jobs, their civilian jobs, and also creating as least amount of turbulence as possible for their families. And having such a world-class facility close by aids in that effort greatly.
It's always good to keep them home for as long as possible before they have to deploy. Colonel, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll get back into some more of the accomplishments of the Minnesota National Guard in 2016. We're speaking with Colonel Kevin Olson on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Colonel Kevin Olson, who is the Director of Communications for the Minnesota National Guard. And, sir, we were talking about 2016 and the things that were going on, and I wanted to ask you about the missions that your soldiers and airmen have been involved in overseas.
Well, I want to start off with highlighting our state partnership program with Croatia. You know, 2016 marked the 20th anniversary of our state partnership program. You know, that began 20 years ago, based on when the Soviet Union broke up. Various National Guard states were partnered with Eastern Bloc countries, and we were fortunate enough to get Croatia. And through working with them militarily, we were able to establish their entrance into NATO, and ultimately they credit us with helping them gain the credentials to get into the European Union. So it's a relationship that's blossoming and really helping not only our military, but we've advanced that to our civilian partnerships as well in the fields of education and in cyber defense. So it's an enduring partnership that we're very proud of. We're also very proud of our 44-year relationship with Norway. It's the longest bilateral relationship between any two nations, not just a state and another nation, but between two nations. So our militaries work closely together. And later on this month, we're training for a February exchange where we'll be sending about 100 Minnesota Army National Guard and Air National Guard service members over to Norway to train. And they'll once again bring some of their service members over here to Minnesota to train. So just
winter training
relationship.
This year, then. Winter training this year, then, sir.
Sadly, it is winter training this year. So, it really allows us a chance to see the great things that they do and their tactics, as well as they get to see the American tactics as well. But aside from those partnerships, we did, you know, you see Europe a lot in the news right now. You hear a lot about what's going on with Russia and our relationship in the Baltics. And I'm proud to say that the 34th Division sent a unit to participate in an exercise called Saber Strike. And that was over in Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. And this was helping the U.S. Army Europe really improve interoperability, that is the ability to work with other nations and other services in Europe so that we can show a real presence of force over in Europe and make sure that that the Russians know that we mean business. One of the interesting things they did sounds really easy, and that is doing a vehicle road march, fancy way of saying a large convoy. If you've ever been on Highway 10 going up north to your cabin, you've seen our military convoys. Well, that's something that's easier said than done. We actually did a large convoy. We call it a dragoon ride, all the way from Germany to Estonia, and really getting reacquainted with those tactics, techniques, and procedures.
And Colonel, I know the 148th Fighter Wing got to see South Korea last year.
Yeah, that was a very important mission for us. In fact, about 300 airmen and 10 of our F-16 fighter jets went to South Korea to help the U.S. Pacific Command and the Pacific Air Forces provide theater security packages. And what that did was training with our Republic of Korea allies to train on providing maintenance, fuel, and other flight operations support and doing additional training with forces that we don't normally do. So that was a real important mission for the 148th, showing our presence all over in Korea.
Sir, I used to hear the saying, join the Navy, see the world. It's starting to sound like join the Minnesota National Guard, and you get to see a lot of it too.
Absolutely. I would encourage anybody that is interested in seeing the world to consider looking at the Minnesota Army or Air National Guard, because not only did we go to the Republic of Korea and to the Baltics, we sent some of our aviation brigade over to Germany to work in Hohenfels on providing leadership and staff training. And then let's not forget our 133rd Airlift Wing out of Minneapolis. You know, they deployed airmen to support the Pacific Air Forces as well. And they actually did a humanitarian mission out of Cambodia to help and enhance our capability to provide humanitarian assistance and disaster relief when we're needed.
We're speaking with Colonel Kevin Olson on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, do we have airmen and soldiers deployed around the world now?
Yeah, we sure do. We have a number of individual deployers with both our 133rd Airlift Wing and 148th Fighter Wing with the Air National Guard. And on the Army side, we've got soldiers with our 2nd Battalion, 211th General Support Aviation Battalion, over in Afghanistan. They're providing transportation for our forces over there. And we have more than 200 soldiers that are out of our 2nd Battalion, 135th Infantry, throughout southern Minnesota. They're in the Sinai Peninsula, and what they're doing is providing security enforcement under the multi-force observers. And that is enforcing the 1979 peace treaty between Egypt and Israel. So very important work that that our soldiers and airmen are doing around the world right now.
Colonel, with all these deployments that we've followed over the last 6 years, it must put the Minnesota National Guard in a readiness status that's almost second to none.
Well, it sure has. And, you know, let's not forget when we do these exercises, you know, this allows us to be ready on a moment's notice. You know, we even did some additional training missions beyond the international ones. I mentioned the National Training Center. Can't emphasize enough the great work that our 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team did to be recognized as one of the most prepared armor brigades in the Army. We also did a number of exercises related to cyber. I'll highlight one of them. It's called Cyber Shield. We did that out in Indiana with about 900 service members from 47 states. This is making sure that the National Guard is ready in the event of a cyber incident here in Minnesota. Our Combat Aviation Brigade was also involved in real-life state missions. Let's not forget, in the spring, we had wildfires in northern Minnesota, and our aviators, our crews, spent about 34 hours dropping more than 100,000 gallons of water to help our local officials contain the fire. And then, again, our Air Guard's 133rd Airlift Wing was also participating in a number of exercises to maintain their readiness, because that's really what the National Guard is all about, being ready to serve our state and our nation.
Sir, when we take a look at Facebook for Minnesota National Guard and the train that might have been about 9 miles long to get all that equipment out to the National Training Center, you've got helicopters, you've got C-130s, you've got tanks, you've got all this equipment, and you've been all over the world. For the young people that are listening today, if you think they were interested in joining the Minnesota National Guard, what would you say to them?
Well, I would say to certainly take a look at the opportunities that could unfold by joining the National Guard. You asked me at the very beginning when we sat down how many years that I had served, and it's more than 30. When I look back on those 30 years, the experiences and the people that I've had the opportunity to serve with, the families that I got to meet, the locations that I've got to see and serve with our service members from around the world, and getting to know Minnesota better, it has really enriched my life. So I would encourage any young person that is looking to contribute to their community, to their state, and to their nation to consider the National Guard, because we don't just serve in the military. We live here, we work here, and we're part of the community. So it's something, a source of great pride for me and for so many of the soldiers and airmen that I have the privilege to serve with.
Sir, thank you for joining us today here in the studio.
It's my pleasure, Mr. Lyons. And once again, on behalf of Major General Rick Nash and all the leadership of the Minnesota National Guard, I just want to thank you for being such an important part to tell us stories of our soldiers, our airmen, our veterans, and our communities.
Thank you, sir. That was Colonel Kevin Olson, the Communications Director for the Minnesota National Guard. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Joining me now is Larry Shelledo, the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Commissioner, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's always good to be here.
Commissioner, can you share with our listeners, how long have you been the Commissioner of the MDVA, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
Well, let's see. I think it's my sixth year. Yeah, I'm fifth. I don't know. It's...
Must be close to six.
I'm in my second term, so it's the sixth year. It's my sixth year. Two more to go.
And before you were the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, you spent 7 years as the adjutant general of the Minnesota National Guard.
That is correct.
And how many years were you in the military, sir?
I didn't really count, but it was 2 years, 10 months, and 18 days.
2 years, sir?
2 years. I 10 months. It was one of those things. I was going to college at the time and interviewed for my job, dream job. I was all set to go. And they said, well, you only have one last question to ask or answer. And says, where are you with the draft board? I says, you know, I don't know. I'll go check. So I went back home. I checked. They had the big IBM printout sheets. They searched my last name, found a line, and says, you know, you're graduating in June. Is that correct? That's correct. Okay, you'll get your draft notice in either April or May. So everything I'd planned, everything I dreamt about changed 10 days after I graduated, and I was at Fort Dix, New Jersey, with some young kid screaming and yelling at me because he was there 2 days before I was.
And so, before you knew it, you spent some time in Southeast Asia.
That is correct. I went through I went through the Officer Canada School. And there, then they kept me at Fort Benning, so I got to go to jump school. Then I got orders to go to Panama to jungle school, and then they shipped me straight from there to Vietnam, where I served as an advisor. I led a 5-man team. It was living with the Vietnamese, working then mostly with Koreans after the Vietnamese, and the least contact I had was with U.S. soldiers. In fact, because of our status as advisors, even the MPs could not arrest me, a thing that bothered them a little bit. Not that I sped on the roads or did anything like that, but it was transformational. So everything I had planned when I was going to graduate from college never happened. It turned my whole life upside down, it refocused, I guess, is the best way to look at it. And I think that's going to be pretty typical of a lot of veterans who were all of a sudden pulled from the beauty of Minnesota and sent overseas and experiencing things that most people never experience in their lifetime.
So decades ago, you started your career in active duty in Vietnam.
That is correct. Then I was dating this young girl, who's now my wife of 40-some years. And across the apartment building was a guy that needed a young lieutenant to help him in the National Guard unit out of Fergus Falls. So I said, sure, I'll do it as long as it worked. And it worked.
And it's still working.
And it's still working, yeah. I went all the way through, finished with the adjutant general. I left that because I reached the mandatory age. But fortunately, during that time, I'd worked for Governor Dayton, so I applied. And I got this position, and it's been a whirlwind ever since.
So many years ago, you started as a second lieutenant, and you ended up being a brevet lieutenant general, 3 stars.
3 stars.
And I seem to recall, because you and I were working together on some of this radio stuff, that I encouraged you to take some time off and rest for a while, and I thought you said you were going to do that. And the next thing I know, here you are, the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and instead of taking care of 14,000 airmen and soldiers, you're looking after 370,000 veterans in Minnesota.
That's correct, but somehow I think the honey-do list was even worse.
So, Commissioner, can you tell us what's the responsibility of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs?
Well, the Department of Veterans Affairs is to make sure that the veterans of the state of Minnesota have a proper connection between the benefits and services available to them from the federal level and state level, and drill it down to the county veteran service officers and so forth so that they can get found and get connected with those benefits. So, I often use the phrase, my job is to make sure that we can bring our veterans all the way home. You know, we take them from home, we uproot them, change a lot of environment, they come back, and most people say they just want to get back to the way it was, which will never happen. But how do we assist them, help them to transition and to move forward, and in many cases, and not very many cases, continue to lead the communities in which they left?
We're speaking with Larry Shalito, the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. And Commissioner, your department, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, is divided kind of into two sides. You've got the homes, and then you've got the programs and services. Can you kind of lay that out for us a little bit?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, first of all, let's talk about the program and services. That was the historical, if you will, agency. We just make sure they get the programs and the benefits, because veterans in the state of Minnesota are a $2.5 billion industry. And a lot of people don't realize this, but a lot of them get their assistance, education benefits, disability payments, all of those things. And they're very transparent because they go directly to the recipient. So as I oftentimes try to tell like county commissioners and so forth, is that veterans have a major economic impact, with that. The homes was in transferred because when I was TAG, I worked alongside Governor Pawlenty as he went through that transformation where they closed the board of the Veterans Home in the state of Minnesota and then put it under MDVA. And so it's been 6 years now where we have inherited 5 veterans homes in the state of Minnesota and are bringing them to federal and state standards to take care of our veterans at that point.
And that all happened because there were some issues with the homes and they weren't being particularly run well. And I understand you've won some awards since in the last few years, but you've come a long way with that.
We have a pinnacle study of satisfactions of our family members, our residents, and even our employees. And things have gone very, very well. I'm privy to go into national conferences and so forth, and Minnesota can be very, very proud. Do we have issues? Sure, those types of things, but nothing. We're the cream of the crop, so I'm very, very proud of them and the work that they do.
There's still always things to fix, and that's the nature of things, but you've come a long way in the last 6 years, haven't you?
Oh, yes, definitely, and we just finished 3 concurrent audits, and I just read the final audit report, and or at least the draft of it, and I'm saying, if this is all there is, man, we're doing good. I mean, it's very, 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 very positive. Things are going well. Do we have things we need to tweak? Of course, but we're doing extremely well. And the beauty of it right now is that we have all our homes fully funded in construction. We'll be finishing the major construction work of Minneapolis. We have communities eager in getting veterans' homes in theirs. That'll be the future. So more to come.
So is that phase three of the project that the Minneapolis Veterans Home underway and almost done?
It's underway. It's funded. It's on schedule. And knock on wood, it's going to be open and ready on time.
So you'll have a lot more capacity and be able to take better care of our veterans.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And we'll talk about this in the next session because there's a lot of issues that are going to happen with our veterans because there's a tidal wave of what they call baby boomers. I don't know if you heard of that phrase.
I think I have, sir.
All right. All right.
Commissioner, we're just about out of time for this segment. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll visit more with Larry Shalladeau, the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting today with Larry Shalladeau, who is the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Commissioner, we were talking a little bit about the homes and the programs and services. And I want to ask you a little bit now. We're at the end of another year, 2016. Mm-hmm. And did you accomplish all the things you set out to do this year? What were the highlights of 2016?
Well, the highlights of 2016... Several. Obviously, one was the construction of the Minneapolis home and getting that going, the funding and the work and the contracting and everything rolling. Also, we had the program and services and their programs, their outreach and so forth to all the counties, just making sure things are going according to plan. But we also did one other thing that I found very beneficial is I created a new position called Chief of Staff. I think you know Mike McElhenney.
You got a great veteran there and a real warrior.
So he was on the legislative side. But what I did was because of the two departments, program and services and the homes, a lot of the office central staff, personnel, finance, and so forth were getting mixed signals because they were like competing elements. So we put them all under Mike and so forth. So he brought them. He's protecting them. He's keeping them in line, too. I mean, it's just going very, very well. And that has just settled things down amazingly well. And now the synchronization and the partnership and the collaboration is even more than what it was before. So, you know, 6 years ago, we brought two totally different foreign entities together. And we struggled for a few years, and now we are at that what I call the point where we actually have been recommended to just kind of lay by our dish for a while, you know, because you've gotten a lot of things, you're in a good place, and I agree with that because if there's anything needs to happen now, it's got to come from the legislature. I mean, we are fully funded to do the things we need to do. But everyone wants a new veterans home in their community or a new cemetery in their area and so forth. And I'm saying, yeah, we could probably do that, but you got to run through the legislature. The legislators are doing it. So it's a good place to be in.
So you had a little reorganization of your organization chart out there because you're the commissioner and you had two deputy commissioners and kind of two different sides of the operation, and now with the chief of staff, it kind of glued and pulled everybody together.
Yeah, it's that connector that it's like having an outlet and an extension cord, but they're not functioning until we found that way to plug them in together, and that's what's happening and did happen this year. You know, we got by before that. I'm not saying we were broken or anything of that nature, but now it's just collaborative. And I just, in some ways, I don't want to say this public, but sometimes I say I get a little bored, you know.
Commissioner, we've had a number of your employees on the show over the last 6 years, and I got to tell you, you've got some great people working for you over at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. They really care.
Well, that's one of the things I learned a long time ago. Surround yourself with good people.
And turn them loose.
That's right. Well, give them, just give them that general guidance. You know, there was an old thing. I used to grow up in a rural area where people would always check a good farmer by how straight their rows were. But really, in the old days, with the old horse-drawn plows and so forth, you'd put two sticks, one on each end of the field with a flag on it. And as long as you aim for that flag, you would get a straight row. And I said, all right, so we got some long-range objectives. Here's what we're going to do. Because that, you know, the Minneapolis campus alone is over a six-year master plan, you know. So it takes time, but it does happen. But you just got to stay focused on it.
So get them the parts that they need and empower them to do a good job.
That is correct. And the technology is constantly changing. And then good hires also. We just hired Doug Hughes, who is working with the VA in Minneapolis. And one of his prior jobs was to visit private veterans home or private homes throughout the state of Minnesota that had veterans in them, 60-some. So, I mean, he spent 2-3 years just getting trained to do what he's doing now. So it works well.
We're speaking with Larry Shalito, the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Commissioner, we hear this a lot with some of the guests that come on the show, but a lot of our veterans in Minnesota, and I think probably across the country, kind of had the attitude that, you know, I've got some issues from when I served in the military, but take care of those other guys first. They're hurt worse than I am. And my sense is there's still a lot of veterans out among our 370,000 veterans that, you know, were actually injured or have some kind of problem, such as Agent Orange from when they serviced, and they're not stepping up and they're not stepping forward to take care of themselves. What would you say to them?
Okay, I would say to them, because I've had experiences with this that are really traumatic. Okay, if you don't want to do it for yourself, do it for your family. That's a directive. I've had people that, I mean, Agent Orange, he knew basically when he was going to die. And his biggest concern was is his wife going to be taken care of? And you know, he didn't want, you know, they don't want to leave medical bills and those types of things. So we work with them on that type of thing. So this, this is important. And again, like I said, there's one gentleman who's a very successful contractor. He's got more money than he needs. So when he made that same statement to me, like you just referenced, I can understand that a little bit because he's very, very successful. But there's others that just say, you know, it's going to be difficult. Is, you know, who's going to make the house payments? Who's going to do this? Who's going to keep an eye on them? And
The road and the path to get help for those veterans runs through an organization you work closely with, the County Veteran Service Officers. Because
yes.
All our veterans have to do is go see your County Veteran Service Officer, tell them what your concerns are, tell them what your problems are. They'll help you file a claim if there's one is appropriate. And then you have people, as do the veteran service organizations, that can help advocate those claims and fill out the paperwork.
You said it better than I could. I mean, that's really as they are subject matter experts. But now they have a new team member that we just picked up, and we have partners with the – it's just called this SOAR, Service Outreach Program, anyway, through the Social Security. So not only is it the veterans community that we're, you know, assisting and finding aid and financial assistance for, but also we have subject matter experts with Social Security that partner with us and make it so that things are taken care of. So it's like the old saying, you got to go in on an annual basis or to get your checkup. So I say to all the veterans out there, when's the last time you had a checkup with your County Veteran Service Officer as to what is available to you and for you, and if not for you, for your family, especially your spouse? And take care of it.
Commissioner, we just got a couple of minutes left. What are you looking forward to for 2017? Any big things you're working on?
Actually, we've been kind of asked to say, you know, we've gotten a lot of attention in the last 6 years. So what we're doing is we are phasing down a little bit. We're not going to do anything flashy like build another home and so forth. The legislature will have to decide that. But what we're doing is refining all our systems, our processes, and so forth. So I like the right-at-once rule, where we get it right the first time. And we've been getting very successful. Like I say, we had 3 audits, and we passed them all, those types of things. But just getting our processes and procedures in place so that we can then work and help the counties and the veterans in particular better so they get the benefits they've earned and it's done right, and it's transparent, and it just works.
Commissioner, I got one last question for you. You know, since September 11th, 2001, we've had a surge in new veterans. We've had lots of troops deployed overseas. We've been involved in Afghanistan and Kuwait and all over the place. Has the system, the VA Medical Center, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the County Veterans Service Officers, have we caught up with that surge in new veterans? Is that settling down a little bit?
I'm going to say yes. And if someone says, well, it hasn't happened yet, well, then that's why I like your show, because I'm going to tell everybody, you know, you got to go talk to the Veterans Service Officer or someone, you know, even your representatives with your veterans organization, because someone's not going to go knock on your door and look you up and say, can I help you? I mean, it's got to be a win-win situation that way. My biggest concern right now is you just got to be careful. But we spent, and I, you know, when I was tagged, I spent over 20,000 people into Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, and they came back home. And in the last 8 years, now you're looking at the media, things in Syria and so forth, and there's a lot of people struggling, especially those that have lost family and friends, you know, is to, as a country, how do we, anyway, there's things that are going to be left in the minds of a lot of those people over there. That's why we can't let up. Yes, things are going very, very well. That's not the time to slow down, because there's a lot of people, you know, in our generation, you know, the Vietnam veteran era.
It only took us 30 years to ask for help.
That's right. And we're saying we're not going to wait 30 years. We're just going to say, but if you don't know if you don't know where the problem is, you can't help them. So
your message for our listeners then is, if you have some issues, go see your county veteran service officer, call up the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, ask for help. You've got people there. You're ready, willing, and able to take care of them.
That's right. I mean, you know, we get paid whether we help you or not. So it's in your best interest out there, veteran, is to make us work for you. That's the most important thing.
Commissioner, thanks for joining us again today, and I hope you have a great year in 2017.
We will have a great year in 17.
Thank you, sir. That was Larry Chalideau, the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Colonel Kevin Olson from the Minnesota National Guard, Commissioner Larry Chalideau of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the 100th anniversary of our National Guard Red Bulls and find out what's coming up for the American Legion in 2017. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.